Brethren, welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we're picking up our study here in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse number 19. Yet a little while, the Lord says there to his church, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And so there we talked about last time about how it is that when the Lord is crucified and buried, the world is going to think that he's done. But after 3 days in the grave, he's going to appear to his church on the first day of the week, and they're going to know that he lives. And then he appears to them the next week. And then and meeting with them during the course of those 40 days between his resurrection and Pentecost, he meets with them. They know where he is. He's alive. He's meeting with them. He's instructing them. He's helping them. He's blessing them. But the world, they think that he's dead. And so then in verse number 20 we see, and that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Let's read it again. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. When they see him resurrected, they'll know the ultimate power of God. That Jesus, though he was dead, being God, being a man, having the power of God, was able to take his life back again. Oh, in that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Did Jesus come and do what he did on Calvary to fulfill the gospel for his own sake? No, he fulfilled it for his people's sake, for his children. And they'll see and know that that's so. They'll see that most awesome display of power, that Jesus took his own life back, and being dead, lives again, and does so for the sake of his people. That the work and the power of the Father is in him, because he is God. And he'll see that, he'll bring it all together with his resurrection. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Very similar to what we saw in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And so, we see here yet again, talk is cheap, but doing speaks. Talk is cheap, but doing speaks. Do you know the commandments of the Lord? The commandments of the Lord are that sinners repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ. And that sinners that have repented and believed and trusted in Christ unto salvation, that they be baptized. And that they serve the Lord in his kind of church, his New Testament Baptist church. Many, many claim that they love Christ, but they don't obey him. How about you? How about you? Do you claim and do you know, do you believe that you've been saved? Well, have you followed the Lord in baptism? In a place, in a church that where baptism would really be baptism? See, not all dunking under the water is baptism. There has to be some things in place. There has to be a believer, one that has been saved. Not looking to baptism to be saved, but one that has been saved by the Lord Jesus. And then the purpose of baptism is to show that that person identifies with Christ, that they identify with the death and burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his resurrection, that Jesus did that for them, that they identify with him in that, that they show that they needed the Lord to do that for them. And then it also, the purpose of it shows that they are dead to self, sin, and the world. They are not living to self anymore. They are not living to the way of the world or the way of their mind or the way of their flesh, but they are alive in Christ. And then there has to be the correct mode, immersion in water, not pouring, not sprinkling, not wiping, not dabbing, but immersion in water, submersion in water, taking one under the water to show death and burial, and then bringing them up out of the water to show resurrection and life. And then, lastly, and very importantly, any of these things make a difference whether baptism is baptism or just someone getting wet, someone getting dunked. But then there has to be authority. Authority. Authority that came from the man that we saw and learned about in the beginning of this book, this Gospel of John. We learned about a man sent from God to baptize and to preach, whose name was John the Baptist. There needs to be the authority of John the Baptist's baptism. Who did John the Baptist baptism? God sent him to baptize, and who did he pass that on to? He passed it on to Jesus himself. And then who did Jesus pass it on to? His church. Not just his children in general, not to just to those that are saved, not to those that many confuse with the church of God, the family of God. Jesus didn't give baptism to the family of God, nor has he given baptism to be administered by the kingdom of God. No, he has given baptism to be administered by his church. His church are a people and individual churches in different locales, local churches, not a universal church. There's this thinking that the family of God is the church of God, and that's just not so. The scripture doesn't bear that out at all. There may be some passages that in confusion men think that it alludes to some kind of universal church, but universal church doctrine is Catholic doctrine, is universal doctrine, and has nothing to do with the truth. The Lord's churches are assemblies of saved believers called out by the Lord, having been started by another one of the Lord's churches, and that perpetually through time from that first church in Jerusalem to the Lord's churches down here today. Churches are not spontaneous, but churches come about by the purpose and work and action of other churches, of the Lord's churches. And the family of God, all the saved, is not the church, but rather the family of God. When children are saved, when people are saved and become children of the Lord, they are then adopted. They are in the family of God. But it's out of the family of God that the Lord takes individual children and places them in his church, and nor the kingdom of God, which is everything that there is. I believe that that's all things. There are all things in the kingdom of God. It is all his domain, whether it be in the third heaven or on this earth or out in space. Everything is his kingdom. And certainly baptism was not given to his kingdom, it was not given to his family, but was given to his church. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Do you love the Lord? Do you just talk about loving the Lord? Or do you really love the Lord and show so by obeying him? Are you saved? You need to be baptized. And you need to be baptized by one of the Lord's churches, not just by some organization out here that claims to be the Lord's church, but one that holds to the doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles taught. Therein is the foundation of what you need to be looking for. And then, once you're baptized by one of the Lord's churches, you become a member of such, and then you need to serve the Lord there. Be a part of his church. Many people today, they come, they give testimony of salvation, they're baptized, and then they go much of their life just out on the outer skirts and edges and out there in the wings of the work of the church that they claim membership to. Oh, you ask them, and they answer quickly, are you a member of a church? Have you been baptized? Oh, yeah, I go down to so-and-so. But they haven't been there for weeks, and they've not participated in anything at hand in the church. And it's just kind of like being a marginal member of a club rather than he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. If someone did the way that we do in our service to the Lord, if someone did that way to us, how I walk and serve the Lord, if someone would do that towards me, would I believe them that they really love me? That they really, if the tables were turned, would my expression of love for the Lord, if that was directed towards me, would I believe that I am loved? May the Lord help each one in that. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Alright, so loving the Lord will bring the love of the Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. So see, here there's a principle that as we go and we obey the Lord, he will reveal more unto us. It's all about stewardship. Have you been given such of the Lord? Well, we're given salvation, and then we need to obey him in those first things. And then we obey him in those first things, then he gives us more. And we obey him in those things, and he gives us more. And we obey him in those things, and he gives us more. That's what he says. I will love him, keep my commandments, and he that does so loveth me. He that loveth me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. I'll show you more about Jesus. Judas, verse 22, saith unto him, not Iscariot, because we know that Iscariot has gone out, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? We talked about that last time in the last broadcast. We'll make mention of it again. Jesus is going to give his life on Calvary and die, be buried by Joseph and Nicodemus. And the world is going to think that this thing that Jesus has done, his life is past, his time and influence is over. The religious elite of the day, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes, the lawyers, they're going to think we're done with him finally, and we don't have this competition of him in our midst, and we're finally rid of him. The world is not going to see him anymore. But when Jesus raises from the dead, and the disciples come to do things. Some of the disciples are looking to anoint his body there in the grave out of love and care and after the practice of burying is and all that. He was hastily put in the grave there on Passover Day, on Wednesday. He was hastily put in the grave, and they want to come back. But when they come back, they find he's not there. The disciples learn and find out that Jesus is risen. They know where he is. He manifests himself to them in the upper room in the first week, in the second week, on the first day of the week. He shows them, and Judas is asking, how is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And so we see that that's the case. Next time we'll consider about what the Lord says in answer to that question. I see that our time is past for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.